If Disney closes, should you be scared? Not just for the parks, but for the culture itself? Welcome to Beyond the Castle, and in today's episode, Main Street Global Stage, we'll dive into storytelling, structure, and cultural implications of the world's most famous entertainment empire, Disney. I'm Anthony Squinty.
And I'm Jet Wells. And today, we'll explore how Disney theme parks have become incredibly powerful global symbols. These parks are certainly fun places, but they also have an impact on how people across the world understand things like fantasy, identity, or culture and values.
That's correct. We tend to think of Disney parks as places with roller coasters and fireworks, but upon closer observations, they do much more than that. The parks themselves tell stories, big stories, that people take with them, as it creates ways to imagine things like childhood, heroism, happiness, and other cultures. It is fascinating when people who are in very different locations around the globe can relate to the same Disney magic.
One of the concepts we'll touch on is referred to by researcher Joel Grasser as soft globalization, or Disney's exporting of American ideas globally, adapting to local cultures. So while Disney parks share a common vibe, they also include little touches that make them feel unique to the country they're in.
We moved into segment one, storytelling and a national narrative. Let's talk storytelling, because let's face it, Disney is the king of stories. Historian Bethany Bemis, in her article Mirror Mirror for Us All, says that Disney parks are living museums. According to her, these parks act as transactions of American values like freedom, progress, dreams, etc. She adds that upon entering Disneyland, you are walking through a story about America.
Take Main Street, USA, for example. Typically, the first area one enters for many Disney theme parks, there's an appealing American town typical of the early 1900s. Full of smiling shopkeepers, horse-drawn trolleys, and cheerful music, it's not real, of course, but is a way of thinking about the past that feels warm and familiar. That's nostalgia. It's what makes people feel safe and happy.
And as you travel deeper into the park, you cross alternative themed lands. Frontierland, Adventureland, Tomorrowland, each representing therapeutic versions of this idolized story about American life. Adventureland, for instance, shows the spirit of exploration. Tomorrowland, that's all about hope for the future and innovation.
The cool thing is that while these ideas have roots in American history, visitors from around the world are making connections. It's not just Americans who are taking in the magic. That's how strong the storytelling is. It transcends those geographical borders.
Let's take a look at Tokyo Disneyland. When Disney built that park in Japan, they kept a lot of stories and rides the same, but they also adapted them in ways that fit with Japanese culture. The cast members the sani is in Japanese, and the characters' behaviors fit to the expectations of the guests. It's still very Disney, but it also feels Japanese as well.
So going into segment two, music and emotional memory. So let's shift gears to something else you probably won't notice right away, but it is everywhere you are. Music. Charles Carson, in his article Whole New Worlds, relates how Disney utilizes music to create emotional memories. Just think, have you ever heard When You Wish Upon a Star and suddenly felt like a child again?
Absolutely. That song is more than just catchy. It is a memory stimulant. A lot of people our age grew up watching Disney movies, so whenever they hear it, it may trigger a sense of wonder, safety, or happiness. That's what Carson is saying. It makes the fantasy go from a dream to reality through music.
Disney is also clever in how they adapt music through various cultures. For example, in Shanghai Disneyland, they adapted the original Disney songs into a symphony of traditional Chinese instruments. This way, they can provide a local soundtrack but still have the adventure of a Disney park.
It's sort of like music works at a global and local level. So no matter what the language, you're always going to feel the same emotion. We're not just talking about the big songs, but rather the music featured in the background. In every land of the park, the music is themed appropriately. Adventureland has jungle drums, Tomorrowland has futuristic synths, etc. Each piece is designed to help immerse you into the story.
It's this emotional power that keeps Disney music in the back of people's minds. It's part of why they remember their trip years later and why they bring their kids back, so they can have that same feeling.
As we move on to segment three, representation and cultural analysts. Now we're going to move on to something much more complicated, representation. Disney has often gotten representation right when it comes to race and culture, and in these years, they have gotten much, much better.
Right. Scholars Priscilla Hobbs and Antares Liask considers how Disney, considering the diverse world we live in, has been updating rides and attractions to modernize them. In their article, Disney Diversity in Disney Theme Parks, Is It Working? They considered changes to different parks.
Take Splash Mountain, for example. The ride was based on the movie Song of the South, which has been faulted for its racist stereotypes. They are now retheming the ride to The Princess and the Frog, which features Tiana, Disney's first black princess. This is a substantial shift, and it demonstrates that Disney is responsive and trying to evolve.
Another example is It's a Small World. The ride is all about unity and peace, but people have brought attention to the seemingly outdated stereotypes represented by the dolls and costumes. Over the years, Disney has worked to update the designs to create more sensitivity while still celebrating world cultures.
These changes are significant. They demonstrate that Disney understands its importance and is trying to be more inclusive. Kids from different backgrounds can see themselves reflected in these stories, and that makes them feel the magic too.
So going on to segment 4, nostalgia and global reach. So what is the unifying tie to all of this? It's the same word, nostalgia. Whether you have been to Disney as a child or saw the movies as a child, Disney is integrated into your personal history.
That is what keeps people wanting to go back. Visiting a Disney park is like visiting your childhood. You are reminded of the characters, the stories, the feelings, and you want to share those with everyone.
And not just for Americans. People all over the world have grown up with Disney. In France, China, Japan, everywhere, people know Mickey Mouse, Cinderella, and Elsa. That is global magic.
And Disney's parks adapt to local cultures deftly, so more people connect with that magic. They may see a familiar cultural symbol, hear a local language, or eat a local food while they are on Space Mountain.
So Disney is not just creating fun, they are creating cultural memories. They are telling us how to imagine what is magical, what is heroic, and what is dream-worthy, wherever we may be.
So what is real Disney magic? It is not only the castles or characters. It is charged combination of nostalgia, storytelling, music, and cultural reverence, surrounded by great people from around the world in locations that may embrace us forever.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Castle. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, tell a friend about the show, and check out our later episodes and other deep dive conversations about the global forces behind entertainment today.
And remember, the magic is not only in the parks, but in the stories we tell and the choices we make to share those stories.
Until next time.